First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 5, from the verse number 9.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are opened beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid.
In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25 from the verse number 35, in just 2 verses the Lord is giving a report of good works. In this chapter 25 of Matthew, and in these 2 verses, the Lord Jesus is giving a general report, or a report of good deeds that is applicable to every believer. I could consider that the final report confirming that the true, genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have passed the test, a test that took their lifetime here on this earth, in this world, since the moment of their conversion until the final call. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in the verse number 10, we have something like a specialty report, a list of good deeds done by the widows, Christian, godly widows. I think that a widow is not necessarily exempt or excluded from any of the good deeds listed in the Lord's report in Matthew 25. Nor is any of the good deeds listed in 1 Timothy 5:10 forbidden for any other Christian, believer, disciple of the Lord. And it's very possible that some of the believers that were blessed and gifted by the Lord Himself with many opportunities in doing some of these good deeds and never having an opportunity to do some other ones also listed in this verse number 10. All our service to the Lord, or in the name of the Lord to our fellow believers, or by the grace of God reaching out to the unbelievers, all our service is always within the frame of the opportunities provided to us by the Lord Himself. I think it's very meaningful to go through this report of good works. Number 1 is bringing up children. We can notice right away, not only giving birth to the children, but bringing up children. If any parents that have children would neglect to bring them up in the nurture of the gospel, in the fear of God also, in the nourishment of Christ the Lord, and under the guidance, protection, and correction of the Lord's Spirit, if that upbringing is neglected, giving birth to the children would be self-condemnation. On the other hand, we had brothers and sisters, not too many, but some we did, that never had children. I believe they really wished to have children, and yet it was not given them to be their ministry. But bringing up children or cooperating with those that have children and supporting upbringing by their charity, loving kindness, patience, contributions, they could have well ministered to the Lord. On this report of good works, this was the first line, number one. I think that should remind us all. Our children are not our possession. They are not our property. They are the Lord's property, and we should bring them up as our ministry, knowing that both the parents and the children are the Lord's property, and we should consider that the Lord's possession as well. It's a wonderful blessing to the parents to see their children growing in the stature and in understanding of the Word of God, and by the grace of God, someday reaching that point in their earthly journey when they can say, "In Christ I live, in Christ I will die." No other calling and no other master is worth living for and dying for. The next one, lodging the strangers, having an open door of our residence and of our hearts to offer and give hospitality to the Lord's travelers, the Lord's pilgrims, those brothers and sisters whose significant part of their ministry is traveling. There is an old story that I heard in my teen years among the believers in the circle where I was brought up. In that story, a small group of Christian pilgrims was traveling, and by the time they reached the village of their destination, it was already night, late night, close to midnight. It was a cold winter night, and the streets were muddy. And these dear brothers were looking left and right as they entered the first street, hoping to see some light in one of the homes there. And after a while, they noticed a tiny flickering light through one of the small windows, the village homes. In those days, they used petroleum lamps. Very cautiously, one of them knocked at the window. They waited a few minutes, and then this brother knocked again. Eventually, somebody came to the window and opened the window just a little bit so they can hear the voices of one another. The travelers asked this man, first apologizing for disturbing him so late this night, would he be kind enough to tell them if he knows in which home there are living some Christians. Very kindly, in a friendly tone, these villagers explained to the pilgrims, "Go ahead and cross the first crossing street, and on this same side of this street, third house after the corner, is a household of Christians." The travelers thanked the villager very kindly and thankfully and went on their way. Being as careful and cautious as they were, and not being absolutely sure how much to trust the words of this villager, they very carefully knocked at the window of the designated house. There was no light in that house. However, the window opened quickly, and somebody asked them, "Are you the brothers? I'll meet you at the gate in a moment." The window quickly closed. The gate soon opened. The host placed his petroleum lamp on the ground and hugged each one of his visitors. Then he led them into a warm room that was filled with small and medium-sized and full-sized beds. The hosting brother and his wife had 10 children. The parents woke up two eldest boys, and the wife went to the other room and wrapped up the little baby they had. So the parents with the little baby and the two eldest boys went to sleep the rest of the night in the stable with their cow and two horses. Their beds were given to the visitors. Next morning was Sunday morning. This family was so cheerful. It looked like they hardly touched the ground as they walked toward the place where the church was, their meeting place. That building was just a little bit bigger than a cottage. Together, the hosts and the visitors filled the few benches, and there was an atmosphere, an environment of joy, warm feeling of Christian love, as they were in expectation of hearing the Word of God. At the appointed time, one of the brothers sitting in the front bench stood up, announced a song, read the song was sang, and then the same brother stood up to read the Word of God. After the reading, the prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord, then sharing the scriptures in strong phrases and beautiful words of one that is very skillful in presenting the Word of God, sharing the scriptural messages, and the visitors seemed to be amazed how well their hosts and their children appeared to be nourished by the presentation of the gospel message. In spite of the fact that in the whole sermon the visitors could not detect the warm liveliness of genuine faith in Christ and experience of God's presence and His Spirit's guidance. These visitors had an interesting secret. They have not told the other members of this fellowship yet, and I don't know if they ever did. In the face of the minister, they recognized the face of the kind villager that told them where to find Christians that night when they came so late. This minister and his wife never had children of their own. This supposedly true story will make us remember more and longer the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 25:40. "Ye did that unto me." And here in 1 Timothy 5:10, number 2 is, "If she had lodged strangers," visitors, travelers. The third line on this report of good works is washing the saints' feet. I don't think we are reading here about ceremonial foot washing. I think we are reading about foot washing of the feet that were sometimes very dusty, dirty, sometimes muddy, at times bruised, sore, at times even bleeding. I think all these attributes were the marks of the saints' feet at that time. And our Lord is saying in Matthew 25, verse number 40, "You did it unto me." The next line is relieving the afflicted. It is that blessed virtue of suffering with the suffering, sharing the needs of the needy, weeping with those that weep, that we might be blessed with rejoicing with those that rejoice in the Lord. And to make this report very short, very brief report, to make it complete, the last line in this abbreviated report is diligently following every good work. I think only the Lord Himself knows how long is this list that is closed in such a short form with diligently following every good work, following the guidance of the Lord's Spirit. So much of the suffering of Job was his offering to the Lord. He endured that for the Lord. For his own self, he would never be able to endure so much. All that Lazarus the beggar suffered was an offering to the Lord. He did it in the Lord. Outside of the Lord, he would never be able to wait so patiently until the moment the thrilled angels embraced his soul to take him into the realms of glory and joy, everlasting worship of him who is to all of us all in all. When one of those brothers or sisters that have been used as a vessel of honoring the Lord during their years of health and strength, their years of ministry, laboring to serve the Lord by ministering to the fellow believers and reaching out to the souls in need of God's marvelous salvation, when one of them has reached that older age, or their health is not as strong that they could provide for their needs and the needs of the others any longer, now is the time that all of us that are still in health and strength and that have some ability to help would join them in their ministry to the Lord. And now we minister to the Lord by ministering to this brother or that sister. Since we are following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, since we are striving to step closer to his example, since we are praying morning and evening, day and night, that the Lord would help us to reduce that distance between the Lord Jesus Christ and his example and us and our daily walk, we may never forget the labor of the faithful when they are in need of our help. For the Lord himself has said in Matthew 25:40, "You did that unto me." And blessed is everyone who is going to hear these words from the lips of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only Creator, the only Savior, the Master of our souls.